Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week, where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Canadian Caracou, Peter Martinique, those of you listening across the Caribbean and the world at large. I am Stanford Simon. It's a pleasure to be with you, believe it or not. Who you think is in the studio with me? Yes, I have the Governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, Mr. Timothy Antwine. Welcome back to Finance, Governor.
Thank you, Pastor Simon. It's great to be back on Inside Finance and, of course, to be in Grenada.
Well, it's always good to have you back. How was your holiday?
Wonderful. Spent Christmas in Barbados with my family there, and of course, Grenada, we did New Year's there, here, and we've had a wonderful time. It's no place like home, of course, so we're enjoying it.
Well, I'm very happy that you're here. I'm very happy that you are enjoying it. It is almost 2 years since you assumed the office at the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. How are things progressing there?
Things are going well, but believe it or not, it's 2 years, as you said, and it's amazing how time flies. Seems like yesterday we were having a conversation after the announcement, and here we are almost 2 years in, and a lot has happened during that time. But I'm certainly encouraged by the progress the bank has made. You know, having articulated a vision for the bank on day one, very first day of having arrived there, we've now been able to articulate a strategic plan for the next 5 years. And we launched that plan in October last year. And we're now beginning to implement the strategic plan. Okay. So I'm very pleased about that because it gives a very comprehensive and coherent framework for how we're going to go about the business of raising growth, improving financial stability, ensuring fiscal and debt sustainability, or working with our governments to ensure fiscal and debt sustainability. And, of course, constantly improving organizational effectiveness. So that is certainly encouraging. And we have also been able to see the bank return to profitability.
Yes.
So that for us was an important step because, ultimately, if we want to be effective, we have to be profitable to do that. And so we're very pleased we were able to get back into the black last year. And then we've been doing a number of things. Internally in the bank, we've worked on leadership development for senior management and management teams. We are now working on a modern human resource strategy for the bank because it's very important that we maintain the skills required, you know, to make sure that we have the competencies and given the changing environment that the bank is adapting and that we're recruiting and building up the requisite skills. So we've tripled the training budget for the bank. We've hired or we've recruited 20 plus persons.
Wow.
Over the last so we've had to do it thoughtfully and carefully because obviously we have to watch the bottom line. At the same time, it was very important for us to invest additional staff, so whether that is in bank supervision or it's in the area of statistics or in MIS with cybersecurity, we have to boost our information security. So a number of areas across the bank, we've hired additional staff, including obviously from Grenada, but across the region, to make sure that we can deliver the important mandates that we charge with in the ECCB agreement. So in sum, I'm encouraged 2 years in by the progress we've made. I feel I've had good support from both, all levels, Monetary Council, board, management, and staff. And I'm also encouraged by the feedback from the community, so that as I've moved around the currency union, I've heard from, listened to the views of various stakeholders, social partners, and we do our country outreach, and the feedback has been very positive and encouraging.
I want to know the persons that you hire to work, is most of them from the Eastern Caribbean or from across the region?
Pretty much almost every one of them is from the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union, our member countries. We have eight member countries, so we draw 99% of our staff come from the ECCU. In fact, almost 100%. So we're not averse to taking people from outside, but obviously we start with all people from within, and we usually look to see if we could fill our vacancies with nationals from the member countries.
Which is good.
Yeah, yeah, and that's always our first priority, first option.
We have had a lot happening in 2017. One of them is hurricane. How have the recent hurricane impacted the ECC, the Caribbean
Currency Union? Yeah, it had an adverse impact. The reality is, as I said in my Christmas message, prior to the passage of hurricanes Irma and Maria, our currency union was on pace to have its fastest growth in a decade.
Wow.
So we were going to do probably 3.2-3.4%, the fastest we've grown in a decade. Basically, recovery from the global financial crisis. It's taken 10 years to get there. And as I said, we were on pace to record our fastest growth until the hurricanes came. As you probably know, 5 of our members were impacted. 3 of them suffered direct hits, 3 being Anguilla, Antigua, and Barbuda and Dominica. So that has set us back, because the growth that we expected will not be realized in those 3 countries. And as a result of that, that will pull down the average for the currency union. So it's going to cut the growth, we think, by about half. So we probably will do about 2% as opposed to the 3.2% or thereabouts that we had expected. We have also begin to see a rise in non-performing loans in those impacted countries. And that's not unexpected, because obviously where you have a situation where people are out of work, businesses have been destroyed or disrupted, then that does have an effect on people's ability to meet their obligations to their banks. We saw that in Grenada after Hurricane Ivan as well. So we are monitoring that situation very closely. But we are expecting that we will see in this 2018 a rebound. Part of it is due to the fact that the rebuilding will be taking place in a number of those countries. And also what we know of in terms of economic activity projected in several countries, including Grenada, for 2018. So I expect to see a strong year of growth in the currency union in 2018.
The currency union is as strong as its weakest, would you say that?
Well, we're one currency union, which means that what happens with one affects all.
Right.
But it also means that we can help each other out. So, for example, the fact of the matter is, our foreign reserves are pooled. The foreign reserves come from the 8 different countries, and we pool and we manage them. That's the strength and the beauty of our currency union arrangement. It is not one country. Mm-hmm. So while 5 countries were impacted, 3 particularly badly, there were others like Grenada, like St. Lucia, like St. Vincent and the Grenadines that were not impacted, right, in a direct way, because we are linked. But it does mean that, for example, some of them saw improvements in kits, for example, saw improvement in cruise. And they were already doing very well in cruise tourism.
But
it got even more because of the hurricane, because St. Martin was impacted, Puerto Rico was impacted. Some of the ships that would have gone there had to divert. And they came to St. Kitts, they went to St. Lucia, Grenada maybe even got some additional. So in a broad sense, everybody's impacted. But the fact that we are a club where it's more than one, it's 8 of us, means that we can sort of cover for each other. So when one is down, hopefully another one is up. We're not all down at the same time, we're not all up at the same time. So there is some level of diversification in the arrangement. But the currency union remains strong, the backing of the dollar remains strong, that has not been impacted. In fact, we are around 97, just over 97% in terms of the backing of the EC dollar. So that remains
97%.
And that simply means for every $1 EC dollar in circulation, we have 97 cents in foreign reserves backing the dollar, which gives us our strength. So that is, our dollar remains very strong. And again, that is the power and the beauty of this collective arrangement that we have, where it's not one country. If one country were impacted, and it was just that country with one pool of reserves and one central bank, one currency, they would be very, very, in a very difficult situation. But they can draw on the reserves of the others. That's the beauty of our arrangement. So we'll get through. We've been there before. We've been through hurricanes before. We've weathered storms. We've shown ourselves to be very resilient, and we will get through. The last thing I'll say on this is that, as a result of the hurricanes, we've resolved with the international partners, and Prime Minister Mitchell, obviously, as chairman of CARICOM, has been very much in the forefront of many of these activities. to ensure that we could become the first climate resilient region in the world, starting with Dominica. So that's a major ambition, but also I think a necessary one, where recognizing the fact that we are on the front lines of climate change, as Prime Minister Skerrett described it, the fact that we are among the lowest emitters, but the hardest hit by climate change, we have to take steps to build resilience in our housing stock, in our energy, in our infrastructure, to make sure that we could better withstand not a 1 in 100 event now, but a 1 in 200 year event.
Yes.
Because that is where we are. Because the storms that we had this year, well, last year now, were in fact Category 5 plus, as some put it, storms on steroids.
Yeah, it was bad.
And it really, you know, created havoc in the countries. But climate change means we'll see more of these devastating storms. And therefore, you have to avoid a situation where you're constantly rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Because it takes so much. I mean, a storm passes through for 3 hours and it wipes out 20 years of progress. You know, so how do you minimize the impact? After Hurricane Ivan in Grenada, for example, I think we had resolved to build back better, and we said no less than Category 3 in terms of building back, right? Well, obviously, we have to even raise that game now. But it does mean that the more prepared we are in terms of infrastructure, the better we're able to withstand. And therefore, you minimize booms and busts. You minimize fluctuations in economic activity, where one minute you're up and the next minute you're way down because of a shock like a natural disaster.
Yeah, which is so true. Mm-hmm. Well, with all of that, given the high unemployment in the region, how is the ECCB helping to address this problem? Because I know in Grenada, we have a very high percentage. You go to St. Vincent, same St. Lucia, same thing, as you rightly said, we're 8 countries.
Yes,
across these countries, there are high employment, and it's affecting the growth and development of the country. How is ECCB addressing that issue, or helping the governments to address this issue?
Yeah, that's a very important issue, and it's one that exercises me a lot, because, you know, I argue that unemployment may be the number one socioeconomic challenge of our time. It is so impactful, especially on our youth, and I obviously am very concerned that we could lose a generation of young people if we do not find ways to create meaningful employment, or that to help them create their own employment. In fact, in the ECCU, unemployment is around probably 23%. That's the average. But among youth, it's higher. In some countries, it could be anywhere between 30 and 50%. So that's a huge issue. It's not unique to the ECCU. I mean, global youth unemployment youth unemployment is a global phenomenon. We see it across the world. And since the global financial crisis, many countries have seen global unemployment, youth unemployment, go up, and it's been very hard to come down. But obviously, here is where we live. We need to tackle this issue. So your question is, what is ECCB doing? There are several things that we are working on with our governments and our countries to try to address this. The first is to encourage social dialogue on the issue of youth employment via the country outreach and the growth dialogue. So when we go around to the countries and we engage them on economic and social issues, we discuss this issue of employment. And if you look at the strategic plan of the ECCB, there's a strategic pillar called growth, competitiveness, and employment. Because we want to give focus to that in terms of our work and our engagement. So the first thing we do is advocacy. Encourage dialogue. The second thing is advocacy for education reform. I'm on record as saying that I'm very concerned that our education system is not producing the skills required by the labor market. That's a huge issue. The skills in the 21st century. Our advocacy is based on the Future of Jobs report issued by the World Economic Forum. And that report highlighted that the skills that are needed now include technical skills like coding, to deal with apps and so on, cognitive abilities like creativity and mathematical reasoning, complex problem-solving skills, social skills like collaboration and negotiation and persuasion and emotional intelligence, and process skills like active listening, critical thinking, self-monitoring, and system skills like judgment and decision-making. Those are the skills that are being required now. And we have to make sure that our education system is delivering those skills. And I worry, in fact, I am on record as saying I am concerned that we are too focused on subjects and not sufficiently focused on skills.
That's
and there needs
true.
To be a shift. Right now, people want to brag about how many subjects. But then what? These children leave school, these young people, and they have no immediate prospects of employment because we have not, we've misdirected them in a sense. We're training them for the wrong skills. And I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. You need to have a basic core in terms of your academics, your math, your English, your reading, your writing, the 4 hours. You need to have some social studies. You need to have some history, you know, basic things, science. But you need skills that you can use in the marketplace. Because the irony is, at the same time that we have in this situation of high unemployment, you're going in the labor in the market, and then you can't find skills. You can't find skilled people to do certain things, right. Whether it's a plumber, whether it's an electrician.
Or a technician.
And you say, well, unemployment is so high, you should be able to find people literally and, you know, at very reasonable rates because of the unemployment situation. What you find is that you have people who don't have the skills, and then you have a small number who have the skills, who are in demand, and they can't keep up. So they can't meet timely commitments. You know, you ask them to come this week, they have to come next month, and that kind of thing because of the demand on them. The other thing that we do, which is very important, just a couple of things, but I'm glad you raised this because it's an important issue. We partner with the Caribbean Science Foundation by sponsoring 2 students each year in a student program for innovation in science and engineering called SPIES. The mission of the foundation is to help diversify Caribbean economies by harnessing science and technology for economic development. I think that's a very important mission and one that the central bank supports. Last year, for example, we had 2 students, one from Nevis, one from Grenada. The gentleman from Grenada, Tam CC, was Jason Phillip. And again, this year, 2018, we're going to sponsor another 2 students in this SPICE program because, again, skills for the 21st century. We believe that's important. We also do internships where we have young people coming out of UWI. In the summer, they spend 2 or 3 months at the central bank in research, in bank supervision, wherever we decide to deploy them based on their research interests and our needs. And we work with them. They do a research paper, and we have a benefit. There is also a program which we'll be launching this year called a Bright Sparks program, where what we will encourage is that young people in the area of IT and those skills that I mentioned, coding and so on, we're going to have them come to the central bank for a period of time to get exposure and development. And of course, we do scholarships with De La Rue, one of our currency printers. So every year, I believe, we offer a scholarship post-grad or graduate scholarship. It's on our website. You can check it out. It's open to nationals of the ECCU. But we try to encourage our young people to take those opportunities. And of course, in sports, we sponsored the Under-23 netball tournament for over 25 years. That's, of course, a legacy of Sir Dwight. We continue to support our young women through sports. We recognize the importance of sports. So ECC is doing quite a few things, we think, that are useful to assist our member countries in addressing this issue of unemployment, especially among our youth.
So ECCB take this issue seriously?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just remind our listeners, I'm speaking to the governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, Mr. Timothy Antoine. You've been there for 2 years, just trying to find out what is happening, and he's visiting Grenada, so we're having a chat. Now, governor, you launched ECCB strategic plan in October. What are some of the initiative we can expect this year from that strategic plan that you have launched?
Right. So I'm very encouraged, very excited, actually, about the implementation of the plan. You're going to see us do a number of things. First of all, at a very basic level, we need to make sure we communicate effectively with the citizens of the currency union. So obviously, we had a new website last year. We launched a podcast, ECB Connects, and we're going to be launching an app, ECB Connects, soon. It's actually we've been testing it for the last couple of months.
You're up and running.
We really believe it's important for us to meet people where they are. We understand the times. We have to have, people have to have mobile access to information, and we're going to be there with them. So that app is going to provide very useful information on what is going on in the bank, as well as other things. Whether people want to calculate a mortgage, you'll have a mortgage access to a mortgage calculator. A number of very useful things, financial tips, financial literacy tips. All our programs that we do weekly, the podcast, will be available in a very accessible way. Of course, we're on Facebook and on YouTube as well. But I'm just making the point that communications with our key stakeholders or citizens, we believe, is very important. So you'll see us deal with that. There are 3 initiatives I want to quickly mention. The first is a partial credit guarantee scheme. So again, trying to deal with the issue of raising growth and employment, we recognize that there's a constraint in the market, and that is access to finance or access to credit. Everybody you talk to, that comes up. So what we're trying to do is to work with the financial institution, banks and credit unions, to make credit more available, especially to small business people, women, and businesses that are supporting the tourism cluster. Because again, tourism is our largest foreign exchange earner. So how that will work, simply put, is you will approach a financial institution and they will assess your application. The guarantee scheme will guarantee up to 75% of the loan. So if you approach for $100,000, the bank or the credit union will lend you $100,000 if it's approved, but the guarantee scheme is covering up to 75%. What that does, instead of the risk to the bank being loss of $100,000, that risk is now $25,000. So it makes it much more attractive
for the bank,
far less risky for the bank or credit union to make the loan. Right now, there's excess liquidity in the system, but the banks are very shy. Some of it has to do with non-performing loans as well over the years. And you want to have that the banks feel more encouraged, incentivized to make those loans to our small businesses in particular. And that is one way of doing that. In some cases, we have young people with great ideas, great business ideas, but they have no track record or no collateral. And therefore, that's an impediment to them being able to get access to finance. So the partial credit guarantee scheme is one initiative that the central bank is working with our governments on. At this moment, the law has been passed in five of our countries, including Grenada. Dominica will hopefully pass it soon, but obviously hurricane matters are preoccupying them. And then we'll get the other two to get all eight. But we have five, which means we can start.
Right.
So our plan is to start setting that up this year. Right? Right now we're working on getting the board organized, and we'll take it from there and get eventually we get that set up. So that's one initiative I want to mention. The second is the credit bureau. The credit bureau is important, again, for access to credit. When you speak to financial institutions, very often they tell you it is difficult for them to assess risk. So somebody's coming to them, and unless they know the person individually and can kind of almost vouch for them at a personal level, they have no immediate access to credit history and track record. How do you assess the risk and price the risk? Now, in modern economies and advanced economies, you have credit bureaus and credit registries. We do not have that in the ECCU. And our plan is to have that in the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union. So the enabling legislation is called a credit reporting bill. That bill has been passed in at least three countries, including Grenada, I'm pleased to say.
Wow, Grenada has been doing very well.
Yes, on legislation, absolutely. Absolutely. Grenada has been very prompt, and we're very grateful for that. I believe it's been passed in St. Vincent as well, and I think in Antigua. I think those three so far. The others should follow soon, but we'll be following up. Once we have five, minimum of five, we can get the credit bureau going. So again, that is going to be very important for access to fund, which is critical to employment and job creation and business expansion.
Let me ask a quick question here. What is the credit bureau? Some persons may be wondering what.
So the credit bureau is simply a database that tells you, it tracks your transactions, your credit transactions. So you did a loan with Scotia, you did a loan with the Communal Credit Union, you did a loan with GOT Credit Union. It tracks and it can give a record of your progress. And what that does is ultimately you get a score. So if you've been a good customer, your credit score is high, which means that you are better able to access funding. And the loan should be cheaper than somebody who has a history of not paying or has no history. So it's an incentive for borrowers to handle their affairs properly. But it is also useful for lenders to be able to access. And there's an incentive. So, you know, even if you had a difficult credit history, at least they can counsel you on how to improve that so that you have better access and cheaper access. So instead of an interest rate of 9%, you may get an interest rate of 7% based on your credit history. Just giving an example. So, as I said, it's very well developed in the advanced countries. It's called a credit score. And it's very important for the financial institutions. Absent that, very often time they would not lend when we would love them to lend. And the reason is that they do not have enough information to properly assess and price risk. And credit risk, obviously, is a big issue in any financial system. So that credit bureau is another part of developing a modern financial system that can better meet the needs of borrowers and lenders and truly make the system not just modern, but make it fit for purpose, given what we're trying to do. Access to credit is a major impediment for growth and development in the Caribbean. And part of tackling that is a partial credit guarantee scheme and the credit bureau. Those are two initiatives. The last thing I'd mention, and there are many, if you want to see our strategic plan, I urge you to look at our website. It's there, our new and improved website. But the last thing I want to mention is one might call it a bit of experimentation. We're seriously looking at the possibilities of blockchain technology. Blockchain technology.
What is that?
So blockchain is essentially a database. It's called distributed ledger technology that allows you to track transactions that are going on in the financial system. They cannot be changed or altered, which basically means that nobody can, you know, forge them. But it's basically a massive database that is able to track electronic transactions as you go forward. So we believe that potentially might be useful to assist us with some of the problems that we're dealing with in the region. Problems such as loss of correspondent bank relations, so-called de-risking, the need for faster and cheaper payments, especially given the fact we get so many remittances, or so much in remittances. We're finding that it's still taking too long and it's still too expensive. Still moving money around the region is still too long and too expensive. Yes. You know, sometimes it takes a week to move from one bank to the next. Sometimes it takes even longer if it's outside. We need to be able to operate in real time, using, for example, mobile devices or phones to transfer money from each other peer to peer, or from within your internal accounts, or, you know, from one country to the next. Speed is important, and that again will help us to improve economic activity and to speed up economic growth. So that's a simple example. And then we also are looking at the possibility of a digital currency, a digital EC dollar, again to help spur economic activity and so on. Now, the pilot is essentially to test the suitability of this technology for our region. So I think it has potential, which is why we're prepared to look at it. I don't know the final answer, and the final answer will only come when we've actually done some piloting, which is what is, you know, we do the test and learn method. So we test, we learn, and we determine whether we want to go forward. But in 2018, we are going to commence a pilot in the area of blockchain technology. And I want to make the distinction between blockchain and Bitcoin.
Right.
Bitcoin is a virtual currency that uses blockchain technology for its issuance and for its circulation. But Bitcoin is one of more than 300 virtual currencies.
There's that much out there.
Yes. So you hear about Bitcoin, you hear about Ethereum, and one or two, Ripple, and one or two others. Those are sort of the three or four big ones. But there are about 300. But Bitcoin is the most famous for obvious reasons. And you may eventually hear about the digital EC dollar, where instead of the paper, you're doing all the digital stuff, which makes it easier and faster to move around and to be able to effect business. So we have to be, you know, look at all our options as we try to raise the trajectory of growth in our economies and address this issue of employment. And the central bank is going to be working on a pilot in this area. So I've just mentioned three or four initiatives just to give you a sample, a feel for some of the things we're going to be working on this year. There are more. And as I said, if you want the full detail on that, you should go to our website.
The ECCB.
Yeah, ECCB website, and look for a strategic plan. You can't miss it once you get the website. And it will tell you what our five strategic priorities are, and it also will give you the initiatives on each priority.
That was Mr. Timothy Antwine, Governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. He was in Grenada over the Christmas holidays, and he had a sit down with me just to share with me information and update you of what is happening in the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank and across the region. Join me next week for the second part of that discussion I had with him. He would further explain what is fiscal space. Very interesting. And you have some other information he will share with you. I'm looking forward in joining you here next week for the second part of my sit-down with the Governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, Mr. Timothy Antwine. Thank you so much, Governor, for spending your time with us. This program will also be uploaded on the Ministry of Finance website. It also will be on the sgbcgrenada.com under the heading Programs Inside Finance Program. So I do hope you find the time to join us here next week. Thank you again for being with me. I am Stanford Simon. It has been a joy and a pleasure sharing this moment with you of Inside Finance. Have a great day.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.